We're reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah. We're in item number 138.
138. Okay, let's keep going. Later we'll see how to review and do a recap and when, but let's continue for now. As it's written, there's laws for everything. It says from beginning to end, meaning you study from beginning and move towards the end, and then you begin to see here and there and what we understood or even forgot, or doesn't matter. But first, to have sort of one full review. That's the order of studying. Yeah.
138. You should know that these five potsufim of Atzilut, Atik, Arich Anpin, Abba ve'ima, and Zon, were established in permanence, and no diminution applies to them. Atik emerged at the level of Keter, Arich Anpin at the level of Chochmah, Abba Ve'ima at the level of Bina, and Zon at the level of Zer Anpin, Vak without Erosh. Thus, the vessels of Achab that were sorted for them at the time of Gadlut were considered the completion of the first kind of ten sefirot by way of the dot of cholam that shone in keter of nikudim. At that time, Abba ve'ima too were completed by keter and obtained illumination of the vessels of achab. Since although atik, arich anpin, and Abba ve'ima all had ten complete sefirot at the rosh, no gar from it reached their gufim. Even Partsuf Atik had only Vak without a Rosh at the guf, and so did Arich Anpin and Abba Ve'ima. The reason for this is that the more refined is sorted first. Hence, only the completion of the first kind of ten sefirot was sorted in them from the perspective of its ascent to the upper one, that is, the illumination of the vessels of Achab, which suffices to complete the ten sefirot in the Rosh. But there is still no expansion from the Rosh of the Guf, since when Abba ve'ima were incorporated in Keter of Nikudim, the illumination of Achab through the Keter sufficed for them, and not at all upon their expansion to their own place from Pev Keter of Nikudim downward. And since the Gufim of Atik, Arich Anpin, and Abba ve'ima were in Vak without a Rosh, it is all the more so with the Zon themselves considered the general Guf of Atzilut. They emerged in Vak without a Rosh. Again, 138. You should know that these five Partsufim of Atzilut, Atik, Arich Anpin, Abba ve'ima, and Zon, were established in permanence, and no diminution applies to them. Atik emerged at the level of Keter, Arich Anpin at the level of Chochmah, and Abba ve'ima on the level of Bina, and Zon at the level of Zer Anpin, Vak without a Rosh. Thus, the vessels of Achab that were sorted for them at the time of Gadlut were considered the completion of the first kind of ten sefirot by way of the dot of Cholam that shone in Keter of Nikudim. At that time, Abba ve'ima too were completed by Keter and obtained illumination of the vessels of Achab. Hence, although Atik, Arich Anpin, and Abba Ve'ima all had 10 complete Sfirot at the Rosh, no Gar from it reached their Gufim. Even Parzuf Atik had only Vak without a Rosh at the Guf, and so did Arich Anpin and Abba Ve'ima. The reason for this is that the more refined is sorted first. Hence, only the completion of the first kind of ten sfirot was sorted in them, from the perspective of its ascent to the upper one. That is the illumination of the vessels of Achab, which suffices to complete the ten sfirot in the Rosh. But there is still no expansion from the Rosh to the Guf, since when Abba Ve'ima were incorporated in Keter of Nikudim, the illumination of Achab through the Keter sufficed for them, and did not at all upon their expansion to their own place from the Peh of Keter of Nikudim downward. And since the Gufim of Atik and Arich Anpin and Abba Ve'ima were in Vak without a Rosh, it is all the more so with Zon themselves. Consider the general Guf of Atzilut, they emerged in Vak without a Rosh.
Kiev.
Kiev.
What's this process of filling the Rosh on account of the Guf?
We learn that all the Potsufim were in Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction, meaning it was forbidden to use the vessels of Achab, the vessels of reception. There's not enough power of the screen that enables to use the vessels to receive in order to bestow, but only the vessels of bestowal. So bestowing in order to bestow. Keta Chokhma and Gaav of Bina. Half, the upper half of Bina. Keta Chokhma and the top part of Bina are the vessels of bestowal. They have of youth, coarseness levels, root one and half of two. And that's why they can just bestow. They don't have more, they don't need more, they don't have desires to receive. But the vessels from Zat of Bina, the lower part of Bina, and Zeran Pin and Malchut, they're vessels of reception, wanting to receive in order to bestow. It's insufficient for them to just bestow in order to bestow. And so each and every partsuf begins to be divided to vessels of bestowal and vessels of reception. And therefore, all the corrections that we need to do after the shattering is first to correct the vessels of bestowal, Keta Chokhma and Garov Bina. They're the vessels in the coarseness of levels, root one and sum of two. And these vessels don't need much corrections. They just need to be brought out of the shattering and given screens to enable them to connect with the others through bestowing in order to bestow. They don't have a desire to receive in order to bestow. That's why we call them vessels of bestowal. And then when we correct them, they remain in that state, and they can be there regularly, because they don't have these ups and downs. They don't have an actual will to receive that can cause them to go up and down. But the vessels of reception, which are Zat of Bina, Zeran Pin, and Malchut, they already have a will to receive involved in them. A little bit exists in Bina, which is in order to pass on lights from the upper to the lower ones, from the Keter and Chochma to give it to Zeran Pin and Malchut. And that's why we have to see how to correct them. It's not simple. And then we have the vessels of not just Zat of Binah, but also Zranpin and Malchut. And that is already serious vessels. There's a will to receive there. It comes from above, but it's already involved there. It requires serious correction. And the Malchut there, there is no way to even touch it, because the will to receive there comes from the will to receive itself, that wants to receive and feels pleasures in itself as much as it receives. And so here we have to see how can we correct these vessels. It's not a simple matter. Either I do good to someone and I enjoy it, so I have pleasure from bestowing. This is like in Zat of Bina, which is interested in bestowing. She enjoys it. Or Zeranpin, which receives a bit, not by its own strength. That's why it's called little Zeranpin, small. But what it receives, it enjoys. It's like the little ones, the little children who can't receive on their own. They don't have sufficient strength, but they can still receive and enjoy, and they can demand. And the Malchut, well, there, it's a will to receive that's in control, in a way that is complete. It's the complete will to receive. So here we have to divide all this system to vessels of bestowal, Keta Chochma Gar of Bina, and vessels of reception, Zat of Bina, Zeran Pin and Malchut. And how do we correct them? That's what he says here. So this mostly happens in the five potsufim of the world of Atzilut, because afterward the worlds of Bria Yetzirasiya, they come as a replica of the world of Atzilut in the will to receive on the levels of Bet, Gimel, Dalet, 2, 3, and 4. So nothing special is created there. Of course, there's additional limitations in there. Very big limitations. Additional limitations in each and every one of these worlds. But nothing essentially new is going to happen there, because everything there stems from the world of Atzilut and the actions that it does in the coarseness level 2, which is the world of Bria, level 3, which is the world of Yetzira, and level 4, which is the world of Asiya. French.
It's written that even though each one from Atik and Abba Vema and Archanpin had 4 Sfirot in the Rosh, from that the Gar didn't reach their Gufim. Why is there light in the Rosh and doesn't reach the Gar?
Because completing the Rosh, the Gar, that requires correcting the vessels of reception in the Guf. Because there's an opposite relation between lights and vessels. The more you work in heavier vessels, the higher vessels you're correcting. And so that's why he says the correction for the Rosh doesn't come there yet.
Latin 1.
Latin 1.
Menciona aquí que estos cinco parfim se establecieron en un lugar constante y permanente.
He says that the five potsufim
constante y permanente.
were established at a constant place, a permanent place. What does that mean?
All the Potsufim of Atzilut Briah Yetzirah Asiyah, these worlds emerged in order to complete what the world of Adam Kadmon and the world of Nikudim couldn't do. They're happening to correct the Nehiyovak, the Sof of Galgalta. And that's why they clothe the Sof of Galgalta, and they pass lights and corrections to the Sof of Galgalta. They take from the Sof of Galgalta all of the big, heavy desires and divide them to pieces and degrees, 5,000 years it's called, and so on. There's many details there. And then these little pieces is how they correct all these broken desires and then connect them together to the point that we have the complete Potsuf of Galgalta that shines from the top, from En Sof, all the way to the Sof of Galgalta, and that's called the complete correction.
PT 19.
Good morning, Rav, friends. It's not clear to me, because he says when Abba ve'Ima were incorporated in Keter of Nikudim, the illumination of Achap was enough. What does it mean that the Keter is above the world of Nikudim, because it was shattered? How does it have a Keter?
We'll learn more. We'll have to see what was broken, what wasn't, and how to correct. All those potsufim of the worlds of Bia, they nevertheless clothe the broken world of Nikudim and restore it, recreate it, until they do its job. They work instead of the shattered world of Nikudim, and then they as if they include that world in themselves as the left, as their left line. We'll learn that. And by that, they correct it. They restore it, recover it, and bring the whole system to the final correction. So we have to understand that the shattering of the vessels in the world of Nikudim was deliberate. Now, all the faults of the will to receive that prevent it from being in order to bestow are becoming clear. So we have to discover, to reveal all of the lacks that exist in the will to receive so that it cannot correct itself in order to bestow. And that's why it was shattered. And so the shattering is a necessary matter in order to discover what else needs to be corrected. And that's how we come to corrections. Same thing with us. There's no righteous in the land who did good without committing a sin. Meaning, we each time have to discover our shattered states, and then only after we reveal that, we come to states of correction.
So Nikudim were like a neutral, they didn't do anything, only the upper force bestowed upon them. It's like a neutral place.
Why neutral? What are you...
Because they're not doing anything except receiving control from above.
That's what you know.
No, it's written here. So what is the world of Nikudim? What do they do there? What's this technique? What are they influenced from?
You're really succeeding in pulling us to something that's unrelated.
But it's written here. What is it?
The world of Nikudim was shattered. was shattered, meaning it clarified exactly where is the big failure of the will to receive that prevents it from being in order to bestow. Meaning the world of Nikudim revealed where and what we need to correct in the system so that it arrives in order to bestow. Meaning the revelation of the world of Nikudim is the most important.
So we belong to the world of Nikudim?
That's a different question, what we belong to. We each belong to where we are. That's it.
Thank you.
PT 23.
Good morning, Rav, friends. A more general question, Rav. I know that every time you explain and advise us not to study with our intellect, the preface, but I feel that I'm trying to activate my brain, and you're explaining important things, and I don't understand anything. I can't get into this. What can you advise me?
I can advise you what I've done myself. I took a pencil, I opened the book. Now you can do it on your computer screen. In my time, we didn't have computers. And then you can work with the text. You can work on the text, word after word after word, and clarify exactly what it's about. If I show you my books that I used to learn from back then, you'll see how much I doodled on them. What I've done is you're not going to find 1 centimeter without something I wrote there. And that's what we should do. To test out the material, to observe it and spin it around this way, that way, the other way. And do all these things before the lesson and after the lesson too. And see how we become more connected to the text. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, still, it isn't the smart one who learns. Because learning in the wisdom of Kabbalah is learning connection between us and the Creator. That's the main thing. Therefore, pay attention only to that. And so, even if you work with the pencil and the text and you come out confused and you don't understand anything, and this whole thing is you reject this way of studying with the pencil and or with the on the computer with editing the working on the text, doesn't matter. As long as you understand that the true implementation is in connection between us, and then you'll begin to feel within yourself what is happening there. And it's unrelated to your intellect, because intellectually, we can't perceive what's happening in spirituality anyway. It doesn't work with our brain cells. We need a spiritual intellect. And that comes to us only from having the vessels of Bina and Malchut connected together, as we're studying about right now, how to achieve that system. Therefore, there will come a time where we'll be able to feel both Bina and Malchut and how they connect, you know, throughout all the 125 degrees until the final correction. And only to the extent that they connect within us, they're established within us, accordingly we will sense first, and then understand out of our feeling. We'll understand what we feel. This is called attainment. Attainment means that I understand what I feel.
Because
first and foremost, the Creator created a will to receive, which means a will to feel what exists within it. And so it isn't the smart one who learns. We rather have to go through all these states until we arrive at it. And what we arrive to, that's already the Creator's concern. We have to do what's up to us. That's it. Each one according to what we can do. Each one according to the mind he has, the emotion he has. Give that as much as you can. And the Creator, as it says, will finish the job for me. The Creator is the one who completes the work. So, be comfortable about it. Enjoy the fact that we have a connection to the Creator and some connection between us. From the connection between us, we rise, we're drawn a little bit towards Him, and that's a very big thing. So, don't be concerned like that. It's far from spirituality, far from sanctity. We have to connect ourselves and make ourselves a spiritual system as much as possible. That's it. And whatever happens, happens. Pray, ask, hope.
Thank you, Rav. We'll pray that with God's help, we'll all connect to you.
Asia.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Rav. How important is experience in our work?
Experience is important as in that, as it says, 1,000 times the righteous shall fall and rise. So you need experience by in falling and rising, that's how we advance. That's where you need experience. And also, when you fall, the experience disappears, and still, it helps, and a person begins to establish the environmental system that helps him advance. Our whole progress happens by connecting with the friends when we can all help each other. And it's not necessarily just the ten, but it's our whole world group who wants to be in this mutual connection, supporting, attracting, and raising each and every one from whatever descends, falls, disappointments that everyone goes through each day.
H10.
Thank you, Rav. We heard advice how to scrutinize the text in a 10 carefully, but when we try to implement the scrutiny, we're really afraid to not confuse each other. Do you have advice how, or should we still try and scrutinize this text, or is it individual work?
I don't think it's a good thing, because that can bring confusion. Try. But reading together, that's a different thing. Reading together, that's a remedy. As you want to attain the internality of the text. Okay, Moscow 1.
Sorry for asking a lot today. I saw that it's easier for me to be in contact with friends that are more distant from the world, Kli, friends I knew, friends I know from all kinds of places, more than my 10. Why is it like that?
This is how your ego works, as it doesn't want to work hard, doesn't want to nullify, try to nullify, nevertheless, towards the friends who are close to you. I'm not saying throw away those who are farther, but try as much as possible to reach a state where you connect with the 10. It's difficult. It's a lot more difficult. Usually, after all of the work we do on the outside, around it, we finally fall back into the 10. That's how our ego works. It doesn't let us directly work on connection. Sometimes it takes many years until we, after all, decide that there's no other work but in the 10.
So you said to annul myself. What does it mean to annul? Just to shut up? I feel I don't agree with the friends. So what, just to step on myself and be quiet? What?
Neutralize yourself and be among them in agreement with whatever they determine. Try. And when you each do it towards the others, you will begin to hear the Creator's voice. The Creator that exists between you. And by that, you'll achieve restriction. What do you care about what happens in the 10 there? Take a different direction. You're given an opportunity to nullify yourself.
I started like distinguishing between the friends. Some I respect, some that not really. So the 10 has to be one unified body.
Keep going, Misha. Keep going. It'll be okay. It'll be good.
You always say that.
Look, what can you do? Do you have a choice? No. So we keep going together, and whatever we achieve. But we keep going. And I'm thankful to the Creator every day, and these days are not all honey, but you have to accept them as good. This is what's good in the Creator's eyes, because He is good that does good, and what we receive from Him certainly comes from good that does good. So the fact that I disagree and I don't see this good, that's our work, to transform ourselves in a way that instead of all the bad, we'll feel only good. Okay, where are we? Where else? Oh, we have Kiev 3 today. What's going on?
Здравствуйте. Скажите, пожалуйста, такой вопрос. Вот еще перед конгрессом последним такое состояние.
Before the last congress we had, there was a state that we went through a very good preparation, and our 10 had the privilege to take part in all kinds of events, and questions arose that we'd like to ask. The Rav questions, all kinds of questions we scrutinized in the 10, turning to the Creator together, and we turn to the Creator and answers come. What is this state? Is that some new knowledge we have to rise above?
Keep going. I don't see you in the lessons. All of a sudden, Kiev 3 disappears.
So,
we don't feel you.
Наша десятка на уроке каждый день, и дело как раз вот, ну, может, в
этом. Is in the lesson every day. Maybe that's exactly what we're talking about. Maybe that's what I'm asking now. That the questions.
You have reached a state where all the questions you have, you're solving them in the ten?
У меня такое ощущение, и то, что я слышу от товарищей на семинарах.
That's what I feel, and what I hear from the friends in the workshops, that that's how it's felt. That we together turn to the Creator, and He manages us, and it's unclear.
Excellent. Excellent. Continue. Nothing to say. But continue properly. Do the proper work and then see when do you need again connection with everyone, questions to me, but for now, nothing to say. I'm happy to see you on the screen again.
Скажите еще, пожалуйста, нужно ли стараться как-то пробуждать вот желание спрашивать Рава?
Tell me, please, should we try and awaken a desire to ask Rav a question?
You don't need to create work for me, okay? Don't worry about keeping me busy. I have some other things to do. No. If you have questions, you have questions. If not, you don't. As long as we just have this one single question of connecting between us until the Creator is revealed between us. Let's go to the women.
From Petach Tikva, what is the Partzuf? What are the five Partzufim of Atzilut and what's the difference between them?
Partzuf is called 10 Sfilot working together to resemble the Creator in a way that they can do it.
PT26 are asking, what does it mean that there's an illumination in the Achap but not in the Rosh? How is that possible?
No, that's not possible. Of course, it's also in the Rosh. That's what we say sometimes, that there's an illumination in different parts of the Partzuf. But of course, it comes through the Rosh. There's no structural changes in the Partzuf. And even if we say there is no raglaim or no rosh or toch or sof, it's just to emphasize that the main thing is the working parts.
Moscow 8. Why are all the actions taking place in Atzilut?
Because the world of Atzilut was established based on the relics of the shattered vessels, and it corrects them, and that's why it's most important from all the other worlds.
That's it. Thank you.
Good. Okay, we have unfortunately only 8 minutes left, so let's go to Faith Above Reason. I think we have the last bit there, last item.
We're in 88, there's a few more.
Okay, we'll advance.
So let's read from the excerpts about